And so we'll look here together, verse 1. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul, and besought him and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea. The next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which had come down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things which whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar. Let's pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'd help us in tonight's message. God, I believe there's practical truths, spiritual truths, historical truths, God, that are in these verses that you would have for us to see tonight. Lord, I've missed my mark. I've not done my job if I can't get those mined out for the people of God this evening. But Lord, I won't do it without you. I can't do it without you. And so I just pray, Lord, that you'd assist us and help our mind and our tongue and, Lord, our heart and soul. And I pray, God, that you'd touch each one that listens. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'll just look tonight here as we see Festus. Now, I was thinking about it today as I was reading back through it. And I can see Festus in his ascending. And that's where we'll start. Festus, he comes in the office. And you know how it is when a government official comes into a new office. He wants to get around and see everybody and kind of get his footing and kind of get a feel for what's going on. Now, no doubt Felix probably spoke with Festus and said, Look, we've got this fella Paul. We got him in prison. The Jews hate him. He caused a riot up there in Jerusalem. I don't really know what to do with him. I've had him in court twice. Both times I've not really found anything wrong with him. And I've just kind of left him on this kind of halfway arrest down there. But I was going to free him, but I've decided that I'll just leave him with you. Festus thinks, well, thanks a lot. We'll ride up there and see. And I began to see him rides up, no doubt, in the chariot, probably got his men with him, rides into Jerusalem. Boy, everybody's talking. There comes the procurator, the judge, probably got his big white robe on, probably got that red sash across his chest, lets everybody know he's a Roman official, rides in on that chariot. Everybody in Jerusalem, they're looking, because this is the new man. This is the new top dog of the Roman government. Caesarea is the capital of this province, and he's the man. Comes riding in. The Jews flock to him. I see him as his sandals hits out in the old dusty street, and he knocks off the dust from the ride up from Caesarea. And they come up to him, and they approach him immediately. with a question. Look at verse 2. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul. Festus, got a little something we'd like to talk to you about. Come down here. We need to have a conversation. I know how politics works. They said, oh, that fella Felix that was before you, he didn't do a good job in one area. He messed up on this fella named Paul. Come on down here. Let's talk about it a minute, and we'll straighten you out. And so the Bible says that they informed, leaned on his ear, whispered a little, told some lies, amen, and asked for a favor. Now, y'all ain't going to believe this, that there'd be dirty, underhanded dealings in politics. Would you believe that? But right here it is, in Paul's time, the Jews got this brand new elected man, the brand new appointed man, got him down there bending his ear and saying, listen, we need a favor. We need you to help us out. We got a man up there in jail, and he's not done right. We need you to bring him back down here. We just want him brought back down here because we'd like to put him on trial. Now I want you to think about the wickedness in the Jews' hearts. They didn't have any intent in bringing Paul back down there and putting him on trial. What they wanted to do is they wanted to bring Paul back down there, and they're going to lay an ambush in the road, and they're going to kill him before he ever gets a trial. Boy, they've got murder in their heart. They've got death in their eyes, and they're wanting to kill the Apostle Paul. They've planned for him an ambush. So there's this asking. They need a favor. Listen, Festus, we need you to do us a favor. Bring Paul back down here so that we can put him on trial. But really what they wanted to do was ambush and kill him. Now watch Festus's answer. Look at verse 5. He said there in verse number 5, let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. Look at verse 4. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Now this wasn't the answer the Jews heard. This is the majority of the message right here. Tune in. Can we get a favor? We need a favor. Bring Paul down. Now how many of you would agree with me that God can take an old lost Roman, ungodly, knows nothing about God, and still move his heart and cause words to come out of his lips? Buddy, I'm telling you, I believe that's exactly what happened right here. They said, listen, Festus, we need a favor. And before they could get done talking, he said, I'm telling you right now, if you're going to talk about Paul, he ain't leaving Caesarea. We're going to leave him down there. And if you want to accuse him of something, come on down there. I'm sitting on the judgment seat. And you can testify in front of me. And you can do it down there in Caesarea. But I am not bringing Paul up here. And here's what he said. He said, matter of fact, here in just a little while, I'm leaving myself. He said, here in just a minute, I'm gone. Seems to me like he's a little upset. Seems to me like he's a little, they've made him mad. Ask him for a favor right off. He said, I'm telling you right now. He said, I'm not bringing Paul back up here. If you want to testify against him, come down there. But I'm out of here. Now, something interesting happens right here. Something interesting. Look at that next verse. Oh, Porcius Festus, old boss up. He had just said that he's going to leave shortly thither. Verse 5, let them therefore, said he, which among you able to go down. I'm sorry, verse 6. And when he had tarried among them, watch this phrase, more than 10 days. That's not leaving shortly hereafter. Paul, hey, Festus said, I'm not even, they're going to water my horses, give them a little feed, I'm going to get back in my chariot. We're going back to Caesarea. The very next verse, stayed 10 days, more than 10 days. One day turns into another day, turns into another day. Why, you reckon? I believe we're seeing these verses. I think I know. Why he stayed 10 days. Them Jews, they said, boy, we've asked Festus to do us a favor here. He took exception to it. Threatened to get back on his chariot and go back to the house. That doesn't tell us in the Bible, but here's what I believe happened. I believe them Jews said, boy, we've got to start on a new line of work here. Oh, I see them. Festus, yes, but before you leave, come over and let's have a banquet in your honor. You wouldn't want to leave Jerusalem without seeing some of the sights. And I believe for 10 days, them Jews wine him and dine him and play politics with him, try to win him over. And a lot of it works. We're going to see it when he gets back down on the judgment seat. A lot of that works, but they're spending 10 days. No doubt he's woke up every morning with a big breakfast. They got a big spread. They're trying to put their best foot forward. Why? Because they want Paul's head. Why? What did Paul do? What did he do? Let's think back. They've got him accused now of the insurrection at the temple. They say he's brought in a Greek to the temple. It's a lie. That never happened. All he had done is preach the good news of the gospel and tried to tell people about the resurrection and Jesus and the death of Calvary. It's all he'd ever done. And they hated him for it. But now, remember our overarching thought. And that is that Paul had no business in Jerusalem. God warned him three times, hadn't he? Hadn't ought to been down there. And we're going to see something in tonight's message. And in tonight's message, what we're going to see is what it took to finally get Paul to do what he should have been doing all along. Now, isn't the devil a crafty, isn't he a crafty feller? He got Paul. I mean, what could be wrong with going to Jerusalem? In Bible college last night, I taught through 1 Corinthians, and we were talking about all the trouble in the Corinthian church, and I can't help but think that they had trouble in the Corinthian church because Paul didn't stay down there long enough, got it on his mind to go to Jerusalem, and up through Macedonia went, would not be stopped. Now, he's in Caesarea. You know what we're going to see tonight, Billy? The devil's going to say, want to go to Jerusalem, do you, Paul? And they're fixing to open the door. So the next, after 10 days gets over, Festus gets back down there and he sits in the seat of judgment. I see him sitting down. Oh, can I tell you about this seat? It's called a Bema. B-E-M-A. Bema seat. That means judgment. Final authority. That means to hold authority over another. The buck stops here. Anybody ever been in court? The man, that judge, he holds ultimate authority, buddy. When he gavels, that's the end of that. The Bema. Oh, by the way, there is a Bema seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Here we've got Festus's Bema seat. And so the Bible said, he said, bring me Paul. You know, let's see this failure that is causing all this problem up here. Bring him up here. Let's have a word with him. Just escort him in. Now, it appears to me, let's read it together. It appears to me that quite possibly them Jews held him for 10 days, wined him, dined him, and then traveled back to Caesarea with him. Look what it said. He said there in verse number 7, and when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem, seems to me like they all moved at the same time, stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul. Now this is the third arraignment Paul's had. This time Festus, I see him gaveling. Court will come to order, bring Paul up here. Brings Paul up. This time they don't have that high-priced lawyer. And so what do? They say, we've got a lot of complaints. Let's start with, and they start laying them out. And the Bible doesn't say exactly what they are, but says they're many and grievous. They're bad ones. But here's the important statement. Are y'all with me? Which they could not prove. Once again, the high priest and all his minions have forgot that in a court of law, you got to have proof. They're just coming down there with a bunch of wild accusations. Bunch of talk. Bunch of things they'd made up. Bunch of lies they were ready to tell. But everything they'd say, I could see Festus say, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Can you prove it? Well, we can't prove it, but now this is what we've heard. We heard it from a good source. Now, we've talked to some people that know, but again and again and again, they could not prove. So now Paul stands up. Verse 8, are you with me? He answers for himself. He says, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. Here's his argument. Remember his argument before Felix when he's arguing that lawyer. What did he say? He said, prove it. Got all these accusations. Prove it. Now it says they've brought accusations against Paul which they could not prove. Paul says, I've not done anything. He said, he looked at Festus, he said, now you well know this, you well know. I've not done anything, but now watch this next verse. I told you I thought he'd been wined and dined, influenced. Look what happens. He says there in verse 11, here's what Paul says, for if I be offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. I'm sorry, let's go up verse 9, I'm sorry. Verse 9, But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Now, when they first asked Festus, what did he say? He said, no way. Paul's saying it's Caesarea. 10 days now he spent with them, and the whole trip back up there, and the whole time they're in his ear. I imagine at some point he finally said, okay, leave me alone. Here's what I'll do. I'll offer Paul the opportunity to come back to Jerusalem. Now, what you think about something? Put your thing cap on right here. All this time we've been living with the life of the Apostle Paul. How many times have we seen him breaking his neck to get to Jerusalem? It's where he wants to be. Wants to get to Jerusalem. But a pivotal thing is about to happen right here that should have happened months ago. Paul's going to get the opportunity to go to Jerusalem, and he's going to decline. He's going to say, no, I don't want to go. That's unheard of. Paul, before this, he would have went even under arrest to Jerusalem.
Right.
It's where he wanted to be. I believe something's happening. He looks at Paul and he says, tell you what. He said, how about let's go up to Jerusalem. We'll hear your case. Now, draped across, remember I told you draped across old Festus is that red sash. Shows his Roman authority. Around Paul's midsection, probably when they brought him up out of the cell, they would have wrapped that red sash, shows that he's a Roman citizen. And he looks at Festus and he says, whose court is this? Boy, he said, I ought to be heard before Caesar. I ought to be before Caesar's seat. Who's running the court here? Oh, that's a cut it, Festus.
Yes,
he's saying, are you working for Caesar or are you working for the high priest? Where does your loyalty lie here, Festus? He's like, hey, I see him rubbing that red sash. I'm a Roman citizen, freeborn. I should stand before Caesar's judgment, not the high priest. And he says a most unusual thing. This is the correct, I'm telling you, lawyers would have said to Paul, ooh, don't say that. He said, but I'll tell you right now, if I've done anything wrong, you can kill me, that's fine. I'm not afraid to die. If I've done something wrong, kill me. Now, a lawyer would advise against that. They'd say, oh, don't say that. Paul didn't care. He said, look here, Festus, if I've done anything wrong, I'll run my neck out, chop my head off, you can kill me, but I ain't going back to Jerusalem. They've got no business hearing my case. Now watch. Look what they say. Verse 11. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof thou accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. Here's the phrase. I appeal to Caesar. Now, as the right of every Roman citizen, it didn't matter if it was a small inquisition case or a large capital case. Kind of like we are able to appeal our cases. You start in district court, and if you don't like district court decision, you can go to superior court. And if you don't like the superior court decision, you can go to the appeals court, and you can keep right on till you get plumb up to the Supreme Court of the United States. Here, Paul has dropped the nuclear bomb that he's been holding on to this whole time. And he run his hands up. This is an official legal request. He said, I appeal to Caesar. He knew as a Roman citizen when he said that the proceedings were about to be over. They had no choice but to deliver him to Rome. Once he had made that request, it was over. He's got to go to Rome now. He said, I appeal to Caesar. He's getting ready to get a change of venue. Now look what Festus does, verse 12. Then Festus, when he'd conferred with the council. Now it's not talking about the Jews. It's talking about his council, his, kind of like his advisors. Paul makes this statement. And y'all don't realize how big of a statement that was. I appeal to Caesar. When he said that, everybody in the courtroom went, Caesar. Long way to Rome. Maybe some murmuring in the back of the court. People's talking. Festus goes, order! Order! Order in the court! Order in the court! We'll be dismissed. 10 minutes. Goes back in there with his counsel. Oh man, first case I've heard. And he wants to go to Caesar. What is Caesar's going to think he sent the wrong fellow down here that I can't even hold court? Very first court case I've had, and the man appeals to Caesar. I can't believe this. Maybe one of his advisors said, you got to talk him out of it. He gets up there to Caesar. Caesar's going to wonder what we're doing around here. He's going to think we got this province and it's all out of control, and we're just sending people up to Rome willy-nilly. We got to stop this. We got a Roman citizen. He's been in jail for 2 years. He hadn't ought to have even been in jail. Somebody popped up and said, just let the Jews have him. They sound like they know what they're doing. They take care of him. Caesar will never know anything about it. And Festus said, wait a minute, stop. He's appealed to Caesar. He wants Caesar, he'll get Caesar. I see him walk back out. Festus gets up on the court. Court will come to order. Everybody please rise. Paul stands. The Jews are standing on the other side. They're hanging on every word. They're hoping Festus is going to say, Mr. Paul, considered your case, and I believe the proper area for it to be heard would be in Jerusalem. Let's see what he says. Verse 12. Then Festus, when he conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed to Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go. We're fixing to see something right here. Paul will never be back in Jerusalem. He had his chance. It's all he ever wanted. Got to get back to Jerusalem. Got to gather some. You remember we've been at it about a year. Way back when Saul of Tarsus was standing there, his heart's beating, and they've thrown them clothes at his feet, and they're stoning Stephen. From that time forward, he's wreaking havoc in the church. He's killing Jews. His whole ministry, I got to get back to Jerusalem. I got to make it up to them people. I'm a debtor. Oh, I've got to get back up there. He's always gathering. Did you know, I studied out last night when I was studying through 1 St. Corinthians, just teaching Bible college. Paul never took any money from a single church except Philippi. Every offering, Paul talks a lot about offerings, but every offering he ever took up, you know what he took it up for? The church at Jerusalem. He always was gathering to take back down to Jerusalem. His heart, he wanted to help them people. They wouldn't have it. What a sad thing. Now, me and you know the overstory on it and how that God had sent him to the Gentiles and he shouldn't have been back down there to begin with. But in reality, isn't it a sad thing that there was a preacher that had a heart for them, wanted to help them, but they wanted to kill him. Now he's never coming back. Partly, I got to thinking about this today. Paul's standing there before Festus. Festus says, you want Caesar, you'll get Caesar. Part of Paul, no doubt, oh, it's another case won. Maybe a part of Paul thought, hey, I'm going to Rome. Wanted to go to Rome. He told the church when he wrote to Rome, remember he wrote to Rome from Corinth down there in Greece, wrote the book of Romans, sent it up there. He said, I desire to come unto you shortly. He wanted to go to Rome. He's taking the long way around. And maybe a part of him thought, Rome, hallelujah, I'm going to Rome. That's where I wanted to go. But don't you know there was a part of him when he heard that there's a chance to go to Jerusalem. I think there's probably a conflict in Paul's heart that said, might go back down there and win one or two Jews. Now he's thinking, I'll never be back. I know I'll never be back. I'm going to go to Rome. Ain't no telling how long I'll be in jail there. I'll appear before Caesar. No telling what's going to happen. And never come back to my beloved homeland. Never see Tarsus again. What we're going to see now is the high priest and the Sanhedrin and the council fought so hard to get their hands on Paul. Now they've failed. They're going to walk out. I don't know what else we can do. We've appealed everywhere we can appeal. We've done everything we can do. Somebody tell them marauders that we had laid up on the roadside waiting for Paul to come through. He's going to ambush him and kill him. Somebody tell them they're going to have to wait for another day. Paul's not coming today. Now, what I would mention to you right here, and this is where I wanted to get to preach. I don't even know how long I've been preaching, teaching, whatever you want to call this. The overarching hand of God. You know, we've seen it again and again in the life of the Apostle Paul. Maybe not 100%. Now, there's such a thing as being in God's vocational will. Paul was in the vocational will of God in that he was preaching and teaching and doing right, and he wasn't living wrong and all those things. But he was out of the geographical will of God. God didn't want him where he was, see. But God still took care of his man, didn't he? We see God's hands. I almost hesitate to say this because, you know, it's a bad word anymore because people think you're a Calvinist. But providence, God arranging things, God just taking care of things down the road and heading things off. We see it at work right here in Paul's life. Paul may not see it. Think about it. If you're Paul, you're bound, you've been in jail for 2 years. Here stands the people you've been wanting to help, and they've done nothing but bad mouth you and talk about you and bring up a bunch of accusations that ain't true and try to get you killed. Now your life's in limbo. You're going to end up in Rome, not sure what's going to happen. Don't you reckon, now I just want you to think about this. Don't you reckon to Paul standing right there in that moment, what is happening, Lord? All I've done is try to be true and preach a word. See? Can't see God's working things out for him. Somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. There's a lot of craziness going on right now in the world. Things is happening, and you look at it and you'll go, I can't believe that this is happening. What in the world? What are you doing, Lord? But believe me, somewhere in the shadows, Jesus is doing what needs to be done. He's working it out. You may not see it today. You may not understand it today, but just hang on. The Lord knows what he's doing. And when you can't see his plan,
You can trust his patience. You can know that his heart is in the right place and helping you. And you can know that he knows what he's doing in these times. Even when everything seems upside down, inside out. They take Paul down the old corridor. Now for me, Noah, I'd have probably done quit 15 times. I see him taking Paul down the old corridor, and he said, I've heard an old story about a Savior came from glory. I gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his victory in Jesus. How can he have a song in his heart? Give me 3 minutes right here. Let me show you something. Way back yonder at Philippi, they had him in jail and had beaten him, laid the stripes on him. Him and Silas are down in the Philippian jail, and at midnight, they began to say, what did Paul tell the Philippians? He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Where'd he learn that? See, everything's a training session. You with me? Everything's a training session. It wasn't no accident Paul had been in the Philippian jail. God's getting him ready for a life of jailbirdness. So now he's walking down. Somebody said, Paul, you don't know what Caesar's going to do. You're probably going to behead you. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. You know what he said? That'd be all right. So I've learned I can trust the Lord in every situation. Now I've learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And so whether I'm here before Festus, whether I was before Felix, or whether I'm being sent down to Caesar, I'm going to be content with what God's doing in my life. Whatever happened to the church trusting God? Whatever happened to you trusting God? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of your trust? Now I'm going to say this right here. I've seen Christian people over the last few weeks lose their minds. It's like God is dead. I've had preachers send me messages. You better fill your vehicle up with gas and your bathtub up with water, and you better get a big bunch of rice together. I messaged one of them preachers yesterday. I said, what are you doing now? He messaged me about 3 days ago. I messaged him yesterday. I said, what are you doing now? He said, you don't want to buy a 100-pound bag of rice, do you? I said, no, I'm good. I don't believe I need. We just worry ourselves, oh, worry. I preached on it Sunday, and I'm trying not to preach on it again. Why can't we just trust God? The same God that was God last year and the year before that and 10 years before that and 15, 25, 34, however long back you want to go, he's been God making the sun come up, making the moon come out. All these things, none of it's caught him by surprise. And just like he was able to work everything out in Paul's life, that same God loves you just as much as he loved Paul, and he's able to work everything out in your life too. Now he's going to Caesar. Man, the trip there, Billy, is one of the most exciting stories in the Bible. He's getting ready to light out on one of the most exciting stories in all the Bible. How he gets to Rome. It's unbelievable. You say, I don't believe I know. Don't read ahead. No, I'm just kidding. Read ahead. Got an exciting trip to Rome. It's perilous. He's going to about die again. Paul's all the time walking right near death. Going about to die again. God's taking care of him. Let's stand on our feet. Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us to preach tonight, share your word. Lord, we've so enjoyed learning, studying and learning about the life of the Apostle Paul. Lord, I just pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you'd help us to commit these things to our heart, help us to realize that the same way that you took care of Paul, you'll take care of each one of us. And we need only trust you and believe and know that you're able to do all these things. Bless us and help us now as only you can. We'll thank you for all it's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. All right.